All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, attorney Stan McDonald is a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year veteran of the practice of law. Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so I got to be honest. There are some things I just don't get. There are some things that on their face just don't make sense to me. The kind of things that you look at, scrunch up your face, scratch your noggin, and just ponder without actual explanation. I'm going to give you some examples. Like, for instance, ear hair. Ear hair. You heard me. Ear hair. Ear hair. Why is it that as men get older, they begin losing the hair they want and gaining hair they don't want? That makes no sense. You can go your whole life without having hair in your ears, and then all of a sudden, bam, ear hair. And it serves no purpose. It has no redeeming value. It's completely out of place, and I swear, if we could grow row crops as fast as old men grow ear hair, we could solve world hunger in no time. Make that make sense. You can't. Here's another one I don't understand. Mosquitoes. What good are they? They buzz around in your ears. They come out of nowhere. They land on any patch of exposed skin they can find and suck blood. And then they go off in search of their next victim. Like little winged vampires, just sucking blood indiscriminately from man and beast alike. And they carry diseases, and they're just generally a nuisance at best and a contagion carrier at worst. There's an entire industrial base with a budget the size of California's GDP dedicated to eradicating or repelling mosquitoes. Make that make sense. Well, you can't. How about this one? Why do we need an appendix? Why? All I ever hear about the appendix is bad news. You probably never met anybody who's on the appendix transplant list waiting and praying for a new appendix, have you? It just sits in your body like a ticking time bomb waiting to go off, and then they go sour on some folks and have to be removed, and then the people actually get better, meaning that the appendix was seemingly not at all necessary and quality of life actually improves because they got rid of the darn thing. And the rest of us just walk around wondering if that little terrorist inside our body is going to go rogue on us one day, and I have to wonder why they don't ever have elective appendix removals. Just get rid of it. Make that make sense. That's right, you can't. I'll go one more for you. One of those things that makes me wonder, like, okay, I'm going to go there. Why do women take so long to pack? Why? I mean, I can pack for a 5-day trip and be proud that I can carry it all in a carry-on bag the size of a lunchbox. I'm also known to pack right before I leave. I mean, like, right before I leave. Charlene will say, aren't you going to pack? Maybe we don't leave till next week. Meanwhile, she's stressing because she's not sure she has an outfit for each of the moments on our trip. I'll be lucky if my socks match on the trip. Somehow I'm content with that. She, on the other hand, will have thought the whole packing thing through for weeks in advance, tried things on, grieved over this blouse or those shoes, and generally needs a vacation from packing before packing for the vacation. I hear it's a woman thing. Something to do with hormones, I suppose. Make it make sense. Oh yeah, once again, you can't. But look, I suppose in reality, there will be any number of things in life that don't make sense. Like why bad things happen to good people. It's a conundrum, and it's real. And sometimes it makes no sense. But generally speaking, there will be a time when something happens and you don't have a good explanation for it, and a life circumstance occurs, or an illness, a loss of a loved one, a crash of a business venture. We're told in Scripture that, quote, in this world you will have trouble, yeah. But then Jesus, who said it, follows up by saying, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Please notice that he did not say, I have made the world peaceful. He did not say, I have ended trouble. He did not say it's going to be all sunshine and unicorns. Jesus gave us a straight skinny in John 16:33. He did not pull any punches. He flat out acknowledged that things are difficult, things might not make sense to you, and they will happen. But the first part of that verse is the part that I need to circle back around to, because see that verse I just told you a minute ago about in this world you will have trouble? It starts off by saying, I have told you this that you might have peace. Peace. Peace that makes no sense. Peace in the middle of things that actually makes no sense to even have it. Huh. Make that make sense. And once again, you can't. And I'm going to tell you what I believe two of the key factors are for peace. And mine is rooted in my faith. But real peace, peace that makes no sense, because that's what Philippians 4 calls it, peace that transcends all understanding is what Philippians 4 says. Or better put, peace that makes no sense, has two ingredients, generally speaking. And I believe they are vital to the recipe for peace in a world that will have trouble. One of those is trust, and the other is memory. Think about this. Trust and memory. That first one there, peace that makes no sense, is built in part on trust. I mean, if I'm stuck in a pit with no way out and somebody comes along and throws me a rope, I'm not going to ask them who made the rope, where it came from, how it got there. I'm going to grab that rope and I'm going to trust that it will hold me, and I'll feel the deep satisfaction, the peace, that the rope is there now to get me out of the hole. It might make no sense, but it brought peace. And there's an element of faith, or trust, if you will, that is necessary for peace. Trust is knowing what is bigger than you. Trust is knowing that there's a way. Trust that makes no sense to other people, but actually brings you peace. And then here's the other part. There's memory. And it might sound strange, but we need that. We need to remember who we are and what we've done. Having said that, you might not be a real American if you haven't seen the movie Rocky. It's a classic about the underdog defying the odds, right? Sylvester Stallone, he captured the hearts of the whole country back in the 70s with the first Rocky movie. A few years later, there was a scene in Rocky III when Rocky was getting hammered by Hulk Hogan playing a giant named Thunderlips. It was a mess. It was a fight gone wrong. Rocky was getting steamrolled. Then his brother-in-law, Paulie, he yells from the ringside, "Rocco, remember the neighborhood." Why'd he say that? Did it fit? Yeah, it fit. You see, Paulie was reminding Rocky to remember who he was. He was reminding him that hard times mean that you need to look back and remember who you are and then face what you've got. See, it's important, that memory thing, it's important to remember who you are. What do I mean by that? I mean that when life beats you down, things seem to be getting out of hand, that you need to have that sense of identity that carries you. I've seen guys all the time that forget who they are and become what they do. That's a scary business. A politician who's lost without being in office because he or she has no identity. A soldier who has no idea how to dress and is off duty because he has no uniform. A pastor who can't exist without his pulpit. If you don't ground yourself in your true identity, then what you do will become your identity, and that's never a good thing. But more than that, there's got to be a memory of what you've already been through. See, that's the part of the memory that I really want to key into. Not just who you are, but also what you've also previously experienced. There's an amazing passage in 1 Samuel 30 when King David and his men returned from battle to find their village, a place called Ziklag, had been raided and burned and all their wives and children taken captive. And David's men were despondent and angry. They actually talked about stoning David. David was as distraught as they were, though. But it says in the passage in Samuel, 1 Samuel, that David literally just caught his breath. He sat down, and it says he, quote, encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? Encouraged himself in the Lord. What is that? It means that he remembered all the times that he'd made it through trials and tribulations before. He remembered that the same God that helped him slay Goliath was still God then in the burning of Ziklag. He remembered that God brings peace, and that God had already proven that to David many times before. So David picked himself up. He trusted, and he gained from the memory of where God had been in his life in the past, and he asked God for new direction, and it says that he went out and pursued his enemies and got everything back. Look, here's the bottom line. Sometimes we have to remember. Sometimes we have to trust. Sometimes when things make no sense, that's when we need to stop trying to make them make sense and trust and take a deep breath and resolve that He has overcome the world, even if it makes no sense to those around us, because that's what real peace is. You see, anybody can be peaceful when things are going good. But when times are easy, we become lazy. We can sit fat and happy and watch the clouds, and we can not worry about peace. But peace is actually what breaks out when war is over. Peace is what settles in when conflict is coming to an end. Generally speaking, peace is a choice. Peace is a choice. Peace is taking the view that your circumstances are not your defining point. Peace is what happens when the decision is made to grab that rope and climb out of that hole. And let me suggest to you that peace is absolutely available, but peace is a choice. So take hold of it. Two ingredients: trust and remember. And quit trying to make it all make sense. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.